Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's been a great day here on the show. Thanks to Dave Archer. Waterboy stopped by as well. All those interviews online at Odyssey.com. You can check them out. But we got to talk to our man, Connor Riley. And I don't want to waste time because I think there are a lot of questions we have that we want to get answered. So let's talk some dogs. Connor, I want to start with the offensive game plan. We're talking about Alabama and Georgia. Georgia loses at home. Their 33-game home win streak comes to an end. Did you have a problem with the offensive game plan and the play calling?
With the play calling over the course of the game, no. Georgia only had the ball for 55 plays on Saturday. I think that's a byproduct of just Alabama doing what they wanted to on third down when they had the football. So I find it hard to really critique what Georgia was able to do just given they didn't have the ball a whole lot. I think the bigger thing is that fourth down play call where, you know, and look, everyone's weighed in on it. Lane Kiffin weighed in on it today. You know, I understand, and I actually would have gone for it. I am of the belief that if you need to gain a yard and you can't gain a yard, you don't deserve to win a football game. My problem is in going tempo and not having your best personnel out there. That was such an important junction of the game. You were down by 3 points. You were 8 yards away from scoring a touchdown, which would have put you up. You need to have your best personnel for that play out there. Georgia disagreed. Kirby Smart elected to go tempo, trying to catch Alabama off guard. The play was there, but you're running, and this is where the personnel comes in. You're running your third or fourth best running back, Cass Jones, to the right side of your line, which is playing two freshmen in the biggest game either one of them have ever played in. And I think that's where the frustration is. It's not that they went for it. Not that it necessarily didn't work, but when you consider everything that went into it, that just seems to be a very questionable strategy that Kirby Smart went for and approved on Saturday.
And, you know, as we watched the game evolve, I mean, one of the good news things was Chauncey Bowens and a guy that really can, you know, can move the pile and tote the rock, and that was great to see. I was like wondering, was Noah Thomas hurt? I looked at the stat sheet three times. I couldn't find him on it. And I know that Zach Branch, every time he touched it, he makes things happen. I know you talked about the lack of volume of plays because of the time of possession. But it's like, wow, I thought, you know, you invested on these transfer portal guys, and they weren't the big factor they should have been, I thought, in this game.
Yeah, as far as Noah Thomas, and like that's something where you go and get him from Texas A&M. He was A&M's leading receiver a season ago. I do think that this is maybe being overblown a little bit, in part because Colby Young, in my opinion, is just a better receiver than Noah Thomas is, and they do a lot of similar things there. They're a big-bodied ex-wide receiver, and so Kirby can continue to say all the nice things about Noah Thomas, how he's working hard, how he's playing hard. the reality is Colby Young, who had a touchdown on Saturday, I think just does everything that Noah Thomas does at a better level and has another year of experience in the system. But to your point, Mike, about Zachariah Branch, I do agree. You know, he had Georgia's first reception on Saturday, which came in the second quarter. He had that big 22-yard catch on the third down there in the fourth quarter. Other than that, in between those two catches, he had one reception on the afternoon. And again, you know, yeah, it goes down to you only had the ball for 55 plays. But for Branch to have three receptions in that game on Saturday, with how dynamic he's been, with how explosive he's been for you and this team this season, you know, that's something where that's why you need your offense on the field more. That's why you need Gunnar Stockton to complete a pass in the first quarter, something he didn't. That's why you need to be able to get off the field. You have all these weapons, and you bring up Chauncey Bowens, who played great on Saturday. You have all these weapons. You need to be on the field offensively in order to use them. And because of the struggles Georgia defensively had on Saturday, they just weren't able to optimize what I thought and still think is a very talented group of skill players.
Let's talk about Glenn Schumann, if we will. Here, Connor Riley joining us from Dog Nation. Two things come to mind for me. If you're not trying to be overly aggressive to slow them down, obviously Ty Simpson was having a really good game. One reason is you don't want to take chances to get these wide receivers over the top. You saw how good those Bama wide receivers were. Or two, Connor, they just don't have the guys. Which one is it?
I'm going to cop out and say it's in a little bit of both. They're just really young in the defensive line, and they haven't had the defensive line that they've had in years past. And so, yes, even though they recruit, you know, as well as anybody, and they have a lot of talented players, and they just don't have a Jordan Davis, a Jalen Carter, a Trayvon Walker on this defense currently. Christian Miller is just not that guy. But there are things schematically that Georgia was not doing. The big adjustment, and I use that in air quotes, that Georgia made on Saturday in the second half when Alabama didn't score, they just started to be a lot more aggressive with their corners in terms of reducing the cushion that they had to defending those wide receivers. And it worked. And you know, early in the game, you know, you had Ryan Williams get deep behind you and he drops a would-be touchdown pass. You have Jeremy Bernard get wide open on a slant route on a third and goal where Ellis Robinson, who's supposed to be covering him, is nowhere near him. Just because they're being so differential there. They've got to make a decision with how aggressive they want to play. And you know, when you don't have the horses up front like you used to, you're going to have to innovate schematically. And I think Georgia has maybe been slow to do that because for so long they've been able to rely on their talent advantage. Well, the reality is they don't have that advantage to the level that they used to. And in a game like Alabama, I mean, the reality is Georgia and Alabama, the last two times they've met, they've both been coming off of bye weeks. Kalen DeBoer and his coaching staff has significantly, in my opinion, out-schemed and out-coached what Kirby Smart has brought to the table in those games. And that's a big reason why in games Alabama won by 7 and 3 points ends up making the difference that we saw this past Saturday, just like last year.
It's Ryan Grubb. I mean, we said it on Monday's show, and I saw your tweet on Sunday about not being consistently aggressive when it comes to, you know, what Schumann has been doing. But yeah, Grubb, it used to feel like Georgia was playing catch-up the whole game, and we talked about it after Tennessee. Playing big-time offense, you can't spot teams 14 points, and that's another thing that just doesn't pass the eye test. So I guess the question I'm asking is, will Kirby upgrade coaching this offseason?
I think it's a question now that is only going to be further asked. And I asked Kirby on Monday, the one day a week we get him before the game days now, about the value of consistency, because we were, I think, surprised that Georgia brought back all 10 coaches from last year's staff. And maybe part of that was done because you knew you were going to have a young team and you want to instill certain things in them. I don't know that that decision has paid off so far with Georgia, just given what we have seen from this team year over year. And look, part of it, yes, is being a younger team. But in my opinion, Georgia's coaches have not gotten these guys prepared to come out and execute in games against Tennessee and Alabama. And that's really hurt them. They went into overtime against Tennessee, and then they ultimately lose against Alabama. And they've got big opponents still left on their schedule. And, like, look, it's a very real world where you've got Ole Miss, you've got Texas, you've got Georgia Tech, all ranked teams where you lose two of those, you're probably not in the college football playoff, or at the very least, you're making a very strong subjective case to be in the playoff. But the reality is, I just don't think these coaches have gotten the most out of this team at this point. And it's a young team, and I do believe it's one that's going to get better. But they've got to do more from a coaching staff standpoint to get these guys ready to go from the jump, as opposed to being caught on the back foot and making adjustments over the course of the game.
Okay. As we talk about Kirby and this record, do you think it bothers him? He said it doesn't because these have been high-quality, high-level games, whether it was regular season or the playoffs versus Bama. But 1-7 is 1-7. Connor, where are you at on this?
I think it does bother him. I think he gave that answer because he didn't like the way that I had asked the question and his like answer that in the way in which he has. I mean, if he wants to bring everybody else's record against Alabama, you know, Josh Heupel, a coach who Kirby's never lost to, is 2-2 against him and has a chance to go 3-2 against him in a couple of weeks. Gus Malzahn is 3-5, I believe, against him. Hugh Freeze has multiple wins against him. I mean, Clark Lea, a little old Vanderbilt, has as many wins against Alabama as Kirby does. Mm. But the sticking point that I have with Kirby's answer on that in the way in which he talked about how it doesn't bother him and he brought up everybody else's record. Georgia is not like everyone else. You have told people that you're not built like everyone else, that this place is not for everyone. And so if you want to start comparing yourself to everyone else, that's fine. But at the same point in time, that is an acknowledgement that Georgia is not as special as Kirby Smart would like us to believe as overall as a program. And I don't know if I personally agree with that. I still think this is one of the better-run college football programs in the country. But there's just clearly something up and off whenever they play Alabama. And for whatever reason at this point, they can't get out of their own way. Because in the 8 times that now Georgia has gone against them, they've lost 7 times. I believe in the last 5 matchups now, Georgia has been the point spread favorite going into the game. And for whatever reason, only one of those times Georgia has been able to get a win.
It is our man Connor Riley, guys. Kate Connor Riley on Dog Nation. You can read the stuff every day. Mike Griffith will join us later in the week here on Dukes and Bell. Connor, you know, I saw some of the schematic breakdowns. I saw some of the stuff. EJ Manuel talked about it on the College Football Final about Gunnar Stockton in the zone when he's going up against zone defenses and maybe being a half a count too late and not seeing some of the open receivers. The reason I bring it up is, now I don't know if he's talking out of both sides of his noggin, but the SI article with Carson Beck, he says he never planned to transfer out of Georgia.
Mm.
So I know the money was a factor, but if Kirby showed in the door and Carson goes on to be a Heisman finalist and Gunnar Stockton as a ceiling, then Kirby screwed up.
And that's an understandable way to look at it. I, in my own reporting and talking to my own people on this, I think that Georgia and Carson were ready to go in separate directions. That relationship had just sort of stopped working in the way that I think people envisioned. I think that the fan base, unfortunately, really soured on Carson because of some of the off-field things that he had dabbled in as far as, you know, the Lamborghini, the relationship with the Cavender twin. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a real sticking point here of with Carson where things really change from the relationship Georgia and he had. Last year after he gets injured in that SEC championship game, he sort of goes out on his own and sort of goes absent while on leave and doesn't communicate with the team in the wake of that SEC championship game, specifically in terms of what he was going to do from a surgery standpoint and being around the team. And I think that really bothered the people at Georgia. I think that bothered people on the Georgia team. And I think Carson was maybe a little bit upset to see how people rallied around and supported Gunnar when Gunnar came into the game against Texas last year. And so I think that those, you know, 3 weeks, months from the SEC championship game to when Carson elected to declare for the NFL draft before Georgia's game against Notre Dame at the end of last season, I think that whole process really soured Georgia and Carson on each other. And look, like, Carson's doing great at Miami. He's got a big game against Florida State this weekend. He didn't personally, I think, play all that great against Florida last week. But to your point, Mike, I mean, look, Kirby's paid $13 million to make high leverage decisions. Mm. And he, in my opinion, absolutely played a part in saying, hey, we're going to stick with Gunnar and we're going to go with Gunnar as our quarterback in 2025. And Gunnar's not the reason they lost on Saturday. Gunnar is very low on the opinion of why I think that Georgia lost on Saturday.
Right.
But to your point, Mike, like, that's something that I do believe is fair game to make up because Kirby is the one making these big decisions. And that is ultimately something that he signed off on.
It was a good game. Connor, I still believe they're a playoff team. But people are asking, are they a national championship caliber team? What would you say to that?
I don't believe this is a national championship caliber team. I did not believe that before the season. The belief was that I just thought they were too young on the defensive line. And I think next year's team, and obviously we don't know how things are going to change in with the transfer portal and year over year. I thought that this team was going through a little bit of a bridge year. And I still think this team can make the college football playoff. And I think once you get there, it comes down to matchups. But I don't believe that this is a national championship-winning team. I didn't before the season. That's why I thought they would go 10-2. I thought they'd lose to Alabama during the regular season. They've done that. And while there have been some pleasant surprises so far, I've been impressed with how they've been able to run the football and how they seem to do a better job stopping the run. And it's unfair to compare them to the 21 and 22 teams. I still don't see a national title team. But, again, in a 12-team playoff, I might not know what a national championship-winning team looks like to the same standard we used to in a 14 playoff.
Mm. Great stuff. Connor Riley, tell the people where they can follow you.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at KConnorRiley. You know, even though Kirby's restricting access and wanting us to talk to players, but we're still going to have a ton of content coming out with regards to what's coming out of Athens.
Connor, keep asking the tough questions, my friend. Appreciate you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.
Hey, the good news is that with everybody else kind of, you know, only a few teams we think are, you know, right now look really better or perfect, if you will, Georgia can still rally. But this is where the coaching that we just talked about with Connor kicks in and putting your guys in the best place to succeed, right?
Yeah, look. Call a timeout. Get your guys on the field.
Is this to you? I know we got to catch a break.
Call a timeout.
Is the field the same as 2012 in the SEC championship against Bama?
Yes, but that was for a that was for all the marbles.
But again,
right?
but even then, I mean, they didn't. That was Rick's crew.
Yes,
that was Bobo.
Yeah,
they're going to roll the dice as opposed to getting your best play in.
That's my only beef, man.
All right. History repeats itself.
If the play call was great, did you have the right people in? All right, we said it yesterday. Stoops and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't be mad at us. He said it. It's Dukes and Bell.
I had a guy already hit us up with a text line. Here you go, you and Carl. Well, I mean, these are things that Georgia fans are talking about.
Yes, they are.
They're having these conversations. Guys, it's funny because you and I just real quick were talking to Day-Day. You know, when Kirby does like, what's everyone else's record against Alabama? That's like Dabo-like. You don't want to be that. You know, go down that road. And I don't think Kirby's even close to that.
We'll bounce back.
I mean, but I mean, it just you, when you build a machine that Kirby has, there's an expectation level, and when you don't hit it, people start to talk, and that's where they're at. That's it.
Yeah, two things. Connor Riley from Dog Nation said he asked the question, which gives us real context. But I also think Kirby was waiting on that question, but maybe he didn't, as Connor said, like the way the question was asked. And so he snapped back and said, you know, what's everybody else's record against Alabama? And then he went into why he doesn't fret about this type of loss and whether it's against Alabama or anybody else. So interesting stuff there. If you missed it, guys, more on that coming up because it is front and center as they get ready for Kentucky this week. Want to remind you, Thanksgiving week, get your week started off right. How about some golf? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing, our friends. And it's coming up Monday, November 24th. Now, I'm giving you a big heads up here on this, all right? It's at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now's your chance to sign up. So go to 929thegame.com, click the events link, But do it now, because foursomes are going to go quickly, and that's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. We do Pets for Vets. That's who it benefits. It's
their
great.
Biggest, their momentum movement was from a Frank Punt. That's what got a little juice for them.
I will not be smoking anything from Georgia Hemp Company.
That's what you said last time. November 24th is the date. That's what happened last time we were out there, and Mike was wondering how he sounded, and I said, you sound fine.
They said it was good pain medication. My knees are bad. Now,
look, he is what he is. I mean, Jameis Russell could be a guy that can do it again at times against Minnesota. No,
Jameis Winston?
What did I say? Jameis? Who the hell is Jameis Thomas?
I told you you're feeling good.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Did you go from Jameis Russell to Jameis Thomas?
Dude, I was zooted.
You know, the best.
You know, I don't even know who Justin Thomas' brother is.
They had to make like a pot of coffee for me to go home. No, because, you know, we're having a few beers on a golf course, and we came up to the Georgia Hemp Company, and hi to Joe Salami, if he's listening, the fine owner and patron. But anyway, and I had my knees back then were acting up, and I said, well, I'll take some of that. And my back was tight. Needless to say.
It wasn't.
Didn't feel anything.
No, not after that.
Nothing was connected, including the synapses in my brain.
It was so funny. Now, the funniest part about this, literally behind the scenes before we go on, we had played, and then Andy actually came and took our place in our group because we had to come and do the show. And so they had finished, and Mike turns to me and goes, I sound okay, right? I'm like, yeah, you sound fine. And then we get on the air.
I got to be honest. My knee feels really good. My knee.
It does.
Yes. As long as, am I making sense?
Not really.
Was great. All right, that'll be in November. We'll do that again. Not that, but well, maybe we will.
Well, you know what?
Maybe we will. Who knows?
Maybe I can crash at Squidbilly's house.
Who knows?
Say hi to the baby.
But we're going to be out there and giving you a chance to
Uncle
sign
Mike
up.
Is here. Hello.
We've been talking about a variety of things. Arch today was talking about the pistol and this offense.
Arch came in hot.
He did. He did.
Stop blaspheming the pistol. By the way, Professor Johnson from Morehouse, who's retired, he listens all the time. And I said, Mike, he goes, he is the grammar police for me. Mm. And I said, talisman. I thought you meant touchdown. And I said, yes. I said, talisman. The way I use it in the sentence, I said, the pistol sort of became the touchstone for what people perceived as this the inadequacies of this offense. And, you know, once you saw some national guys, whether, you know, you believed in Dan Orlovsky's tank or not, people ran with it. We ran with it. I still don't like it. But Art says, here's what it looks like when you do your job.
Yes.
And it works great.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. I just don't think it defines. We had a bad game, but everybody had a bad game. If we had bad games like that every week, then yes. But you can't look at the Vikings game and you run for 200, and then you look at last week and your offense is explosive and you're running the same set at every play. So that was my issue with it. But either way, man, it's about growing as an offensive coordinator. By the way, this doesn't take pressure off of Zach Robinson to just like chill mode. He's got to continue to develop and grow as an offensive coordinator. And I think that's something else Arch pointed out. Go check out that interview as well, guys. Mike, the season is over for our Braves. We literally in studio for breaking news and all the things that go on. We've got some baseball playoffs on. Not paying attention. You know, the Detroit won today. They beat the Guardians in a game that, you know, the Guardians had a chance to tie it up. They blew it. But at the end of the day, the Braves are not in it. And I know you're going to talk more about this in Guide Talk, but with the offseason here, because it's here, Atlanta, this is a big offseason for us. And what's crazy is you go back two seasons ago, it was like everything was set. We've got our roster. Our guys are locked in. We've got long-term contracts. We know what this looks like. And you just felt like, okay, no matter what's going to happen in the offseason, I know what my club is going to look like. It felt like the 70s or 80s where you knew what team was coming back because you've got all these young guys locked up. Now, Mike, you've got needs all around the diamond.
Right.
And for Alex Anthopoulos, this isn't an offseason that he's speaking of chill mode, that he's just going to sit back and smoke a cigar. Alex has got to go out and really determine how he wants to attack this offseason. Now, my guess is, guys, and I will tell you, they've already been having these conversations 3 months ago because they knew they weren't going anywhere. You had to start filling in the blanks and start talking about what are we going to do. But the big question, Mike, is about the return of Brian Snicker. Now, I personally don't believe this affects how you attack the offseason. If Brian Snicker is here or not, it doesn't mean you don't go out and get starting pitching.
Right.
It doesn't mean you don't go add a bat or maybe a versatile outfielder. It shouldn't have any effect on how you improve the team, but everybody's wondering what Snit's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, does this make the Braves more attractive if it's not Snicker? No. I think guys get paid where they can get paid. I don't think guys give a crap about who the manager is. I mean, unless, you know, there's a rep about it. Guy Snicker's rep obviously is great around the league. So If Snicker wants to come back, you know, I've said, would you like to see a new change and approach? And the answer is a resounding no from the majority of Braves fans I speak with on social media.
They do not want one.
They're sentimental, they're nostalgic, and they don't want kindly old Brian Snicker shown the door.
Okay.
So, okay, so let's just assume he's coming back. The coaching staff comes back, hitting coach, the whole shebang. What are you doing to give Snicker the send-off he deserves? Another World Series. Are you going to sign Ha-Seong Kim? Are you going to beef things up at shortstop? What are you doing with Albies? Albies historically with a wrist injury means not good.
Right.
You know, and it's a $7 million option, which they like because it's cheap. At least two starting pitchers. You love what you got with Waldrip. Sale's coming back. That was a crazy set of circumstances which knocked Sale out. But you're still missing all your other pitchers. Don't know what Strider is. Schwellenbach is going to be missing part of the season, presumably. So you got to give me two starters. You got to replace Raisel Iglesias because they're not bringing him back.
You're right.
He's a free agent. It's a lot of stuff. You know, that sounds to me like about, you know, maybe $100, $150 million in payroll on top of what you're paying.
It needs to go up. I know we've got these escalators for a lot of the guys that are already currently under contract. But these are big-time decisions. And if we're going to be a contender again, okay, and I don't want to hear any of this mess about, well, they almost, you know, made the wild card with the run at the end. No, they didn't. This team was not good, and we know why. But Mike coming back in the spring training, what is this going to look like? Now, you know Profar is under contract. He's going to be here. He's not missing 80 games again. You know that Michael Money Harris, you know, the way he ended the year, we need him to start the year that way.
Is Mike – that's another question. Can you – the adjustment to play was great. He cooled off a little bit at the end.
He did.
But is Money Harris going to give you solid all-star consistency for the entire season?
Well, that's the question. And look, I think – look, we love this guy. He loves Atlanta. He's from here. This is what makes this story so good is this is a kid that grew up right here and played in leagues that we got a chance to see. But the consistency is the key. It's not that he's not a major league player. It's that the consistency has been up and down. To be great, you've got to be right here. My hand's just moving straight forward. It is not up and down. It's right here. And it's hard to maintain that. But Mike's got to show us that he can do that, Mike. And I think he's capable. But whatever changes he made last season or this year in season, stay there. Don't go back. Don't change anything else. Let's stay right there and improve on it. 404-726-0929. What's the biggest need that they need to address? And if you're just going to say, well, they need to go get one frontline starter, I would tell you that's not enough because you've got five guys that are coming off of injury
right.
that you were relying on being starting pitching. If you were to tell me, and they're not all going to do this, if you were to tell me they were all going to pitch 150 innings and they weren't, you know how much that is in a season? Like five guys, and all of them weren't going to do that. Maybe Chris Sale, maybe Strider if he was healthy the whole season. So you have some serious concerns. To me, Mike, that is the biggest need that has to be addressed.
And again, Drake Baldwin, he's going to be certainly splitting a lot more time behind the plate. Because remember, Murph's going to be out a little bit. Murph's got an injury. Mm. So how much is he going to miss out? I would have traded Murphy. Now you can't trade him because apparently he's been damaged goods the entire time he's been here. So when he does get hot, you got to say, wow, I guess he's overperforming. You mentioned Profar. You're saying goodbye to Marcelo Ozuna. Right? That's not even an option.
No, because Drake's going to be...
He's going to be your DH. But again, with Murph coming off the injury...
That's the thing.
I mean, he might...
You need some insurance.
So, I just think the Braves... I mean, and attendance was down because the product wasn't as good. So, I don't want to hear Terry McGurk, whoever writes these reports for Braves Holdings, Inc. Well, we don't really have that... You got to prime the pump. The fans did their part until the product... They did their part beyond when the product wasn't good this year.
It's
you
so
know?
True.
And they don't want to hear about you buying parking lots and real estate on the other side and not putting that into the product on the field.
All right. Guys, Mike...
And another thing.
We got Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock. More dog conversation. Boy, Connor Riley set this thing off. And Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, where is your interest level on the postseason? Now the Braves are out. I'll get to that. How are you an NFL player getting jumped in Ireland? Really? Also, Carl, why are they building a cricket stadium in LaGrange?
What?
Exactly. Coming up next in Guy Talk.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, normally we're excited about baseball playoffs because the Braves are always in it. But for the first time in, what, 7 years, we're not. So kind of a buzzkill. But I was asking Daddy. Daddy said he's still going to watch some. You're still going to watch some. You're a baseball man, covered it for ESPN all those years. But I got to be honest, even last year, you know, once the Braves got dumped by the Padres, I didn't even get jacked up for the Yankees and the Dodgers. Can't lie to you, Carl. I just ain't got the passion for it, man, when the Braves aren't in it.
Yeah, and that's understandable. And listen, we're spoiled. We've had our team in the playoffs the last 7 years. But prior to that, if you were a Braves fan or you lived here, or even if you didn't and you were a Braves fan, the 90s, 14 straight division titles, to include a World Series and multiple runs to the divisional round and obviously into the NLCS. So we are way more fortunate than most. But I do agree with you, Mike. It's hard to maintain that interest because what you're talking about specifically is in the playoffs, you're watching all nine innings. You may not do that during the regular season when it's 162 and it's game six or it's game 62. You may pay attention casually if you're a Braves fan. Playoffs, you're watching all nine because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Every single inning. That's where every pitch matters. I'm with you there, bro. And as I said, as a kid, like so many of us, man, we just couldn't wait. Back then, it was only the NLCS and the ALCS too, by the way. All right, so good luck to insert your team here. I'll go with Seattle. I'll pull for the Mariners and former NoCal Raleigh. How's that?
Okay.
Who you got? You got a vested interest in anybody?
I am going to go with I'm kind of hoping, to be honest with you, and this is crazy, just because – I want to see East Coast, West Coast, Mariners, Yankees. Okay. I'd like to maybe see that interest. But I also, just because I don't want to see the Dodgers, I'm kind of hoping the Padres make it all the way there.
Man, the Padres, they spend all that money. I'd like to see an owner who keeps throwing the money at it, a wild general manager that kind of rips things apart and throws it back together on a whim. And sometimes, you know, maybe they break through. This is the year.
Yeah, for me, I honestly, it is a Yankees-Dodgers that I wouldn't mind seeing, mainly because I did grow up a Yankees fan, and I did live in California.
Ooh.
Went to a lot of Dodgers games. Stop it. So I wouldn't mind that. And I like guys on the Dodgers roster. I'm sorry. I like Mookie. I like Freddie. I mean,
yeah, that's enough. I've heard enough. All right. I'll do some Hawk Harrelson. Let's go to the big O behind the glass. Who's your pick to click this fall, brother?
Give me the Cubbies.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Why not?
Let's do it.
Hey. Hey, man. Did you hear about Skylar Thompson, the Steelers' backup quarterback who's on IR? He got jumped in Dublin.
No.
Dude is 6'2", 220 pounds. I mean, I was over in Ireland. I've been to Ireland about a dozen times. I mean, most guys in Ireland are my size. Who the hell's jumping this dude? Well, the story has come out, and the Steelers were talking about it. Apparently, he got jumped at 3 in the morning. So he was.
Oh yeah, he was out of.
He was pretty tuned up. He got nailed over in Temple Bar, which is basically Dublin's Buckhead. Any Georgia Tech fan who was over there last year for FSU or Steelers fans or Viking fans, yeah, he got taken down on a street that runs parallel with the main drag in downtown Dublin. So kind of surprised on Dame Street where he got hit. 28-year-old jumped and robbed. Which is unusual. Again, we were on those streets late night in Dublin. I think a little situational awareness, Carl, which I think we can all agree sometimes gets compromised when you've had a little too many.
You need a Turkish and Tommy with him.
Here's the reality. Right on. You go to these foreign countries and you feel safe because you are a football player, Mike. You feel like, all right, nothing's going to happen. Anybody could get got. So right.
Get a situational awareness.
I just feel, but I also feel like there is this, it's not just that though, but it's also this false sense of reality. When you go over there and you are a ball player, again, you have, they've got security, nothing's going to happen. So you get that, there's a false sense of security.
You're
there.
More likely to get thrown up on than have a punch thrown on you in Dublin, if I'm honest, in the area he was. But again, it's got to be, you kids be careful out there, eyes in the back of your head. Speaking of Europeans, you ever watch cricket?
No.
I can say this. In times that I've been down in Jamaica, my good friend Jamie Mann, Jamie St. James, years ago when I stayed at his parents' house in Falmouth, and like it's cricket's on. And Carl, it hypnotizes you. You don't know what you're watching.
Not an aficionado, but like for radio people.
I'm sure Abe knows all about it.
He does. He's watched championship cricket, whatever that is.
I know that the last couple of times that Becky and I have been down in Jamaica and it's on TV in the mid-morning, I'll watch it. Again, I don't know what I'm watching, but there's a... something hypnotic about it.
Yes.
And these matches go on for like days, literally, man. Reason I bring it up, there's going to be a potential for a professional grade cricket stadium in the state of Georgia. There's an article in the AJC that dropped. The founders of a cricket academy and a professional team in New Jersey have bought 45 acres next to Great Wolf Lodge in LaGrange.
Oh.
They're apparently proposing a 10,500-seat stadium regulated by the International Cricket Council. Now, I know we're going to have the soccer headquarters is being built as we speak right next to Trillith over in Fayette County. Arthur Blank, big of a big chunk of change for that. So U.S. soccer, but cricket in Atlanta? Check that. Cricket between Atlanta and Auburn? It seems like a bit much.
I don't, Mike, what's the, and I don't know, and this is no disrespect, what's the audience? I mean, I get it. I know it's on ESPN and Ocho.
I don't think it's folks from LaGrange.
But what's the audience?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know we have a large international. We do have a large West Indian community
in
the
and
metro.
Indian, Pakistani,
but
and all
I don't
that,
know but, that part right? of, you know, the state is,
imagine some,
I don't know.
Some good old boy working at the Kia plant. Man, I'll tell you what, that sure was a sticky wicket. Anyway, stay tuned. Stadium founder Siddharth Das said to release that LaGrange was the perfect location, great climate, closer to the airport. I mean, you know, not that close, but right. Relatively close. And apparently they got the space. So if you've been thinking about cricket, could be coming to LaGrange. You can read the full article in the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. I was like, really? Hey, the Hawks had their media day yesterday. Something new, you're going to see a patch on the Hawks jersey.
Mm.
Are you familiar with Pays?
No.
Nor was I. Apparently Pays, I don't know if it's similar to PayPal, but Pays is a online checkout. I'm looking at their website right now. Online checkout from banks and credit unions. So basically it's an app for your phone.
Okay.
And so that's going to be when you see the sticker on, I think it was the YMCA, was last year. But when you see the Hawks this year, it's blue and it says Pays, P-A-Z-E.
Very cool. No, I wasn't familiar. But we're seeing more and more of this in the NBA, right? I mean, the patches and teams getting more loot and revenue from these kinds of sources.
I don't know if you guys watched the double dip. We'll get to what Troy Aikman and Joe Buck had to say about an awful nightcap. But the most crazy moment, and if you watched it before some people took the video down, video still out there, is Tariq Hill turning his knee into spaghetti. And then the inexplicable reaction when they finally get him on the cart of looking like a man who says, ha, 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 I've got some guaranteed money coming my way, and I never have to catch passes from Tua Tagovailoa again.
Yeah.
That's the way a lot of people are reading it.
Well, he does have guaranteed money. He's got an injury clause. A lot of these big contracts, most of them do. So he's going to still get his money. Not all of it, but an injury clause. Mike, it was the weirdest thing for me. Like I said earlier, if you missed it at the beginning of the show, look, I'm a big wimp when it comes to injuries like this.
Right.
I would have been with a towel over my head crying like a baby because his knee was over here. Guys, when they were pulling him out of the tunnel, okay, and he's in a wheelchair, And they're trying to not show you, but it, literally right. his leg is sideways, the bottom part of his leg.
Right.
I don't even know how he was in those kinds of spirits unless, like you said, he was just completely out of it.
You know, unless they, I mean, I don't, like, I asked a buddy of mine who said, no, it's the, rarely would they give you morphine right there on an NFL field. But I mean, if he was going into shock and he was just so zooted that they had to do, I don't know. Either way, a lot of people in South Florida are feeling this is just another chapter in the crazy Tyreek yeah. Hill, this part of his career, which once he got to Miami, things sort of went sideways. Now, look, what goes on between him and his wife is their business, but unfortunately it's become public information that's out there. But this was just so bizarre. Matter of fact, they've even got video, people shot with their cameras, of him on the turnpike going to the hospital, and he's still smiling ear to ear inside the ambulance.
I don't get it. I don't. I mean, look, we wish Tyreek Hill the best, but that is... It's not. It's
is he so crazy? Is he 6 degrees of psychotic maybe. That he would actually put that front out there?
Maybe he is.
Like Tim Robbins in Shawshank, man. Went through that many piles of you know what and came out a free man.
Yes. Tyreek Hill, who crawled through 500 yards of stinking Dolphins offensive foulness, I just can't imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to.
Hey, man, speaking of foulness, it was awful. I gave up.
What?
I quit on football last night. Couldn't watch it. How bad is it? You got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman telling you how bad the game is.
There were pre-snap penalties. There were defensive penalties that just were crushing. There were, I mean, you name it, holding calls, whatever. And if you got Jake Browning at quarterback, you cannot play a game like this around him with all the mistakes and expect to compete. And they just frankly, after their first possession, didn't compete.
No, and how they're going to clean this up and have a better outing against Detroit, who's rolling. Good luck with that.
Wow.
But this is, this has been an embarrassing effort by the Cincinnati Bengals. And shouldn't take away from what Denver was able to do. Over 500 yards of offense. If they wanted to run the ball here, they could end up with over 200 yards rushing. That was quite a night. This game was over, essentially, when Bo Nix threw the touchdown to make it 21-3.
There you go. He went on to save just a pathetic display. There was 18 penalties between both teams. It added up to 137 yards.
Ooh.
And there was one play where they go to their referee expert. He goes, yeah, that's a good call right there. And Troy goes, yeah, it's a good call, but do you have to call it?
True.
He literally said it. I mean, and you can find it online because it's one of those, and you and I have talked about this, no matter who your team is, when the play is away from the ball,
yep.
And has no bearing. Now, look, defensive holding is defensive holding. If the quarterback's scanning the field, he can't find a receiver. That's got an impact on the play. But when the run is going to the left and there's contact way to the right that has no bearing on the play, then don't throw the flag. Pick it up.
Yeah, look, I think is there right now a little bit of sensitivity with the officiating that's going on because the officials are so conscious that if we miss this, everybody's going to see it.
Right.
All of our problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence.
And they're going to replay it, Mike, and then there'll be criticism. I think they're so afraid of not calling it because now we're seeing everything. That's why you're getting that stuff. I totally agree. It's not going to affect the game. You don't have to call. But they're so aware of that, and that's what I think is going on.
I got time for one more Falcon report, guys. Coming up, more on the Falcons. Some interesting stuff Dave Archer had to say, and we'll talk about what he had to say and also what you heard from Connor Riley and maybe feeling there's a ceiling with this Dawgs team coming up next hour. All right, Nafisha Collier. She plays for the Lynx Day-Day. You are my WNBA conduit. She claims that the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, told her privately that Caitlin Clark should be grateful to the WNBA
Ooh.
Because they're responsible for her sponsorship deals.
Ooh.
Chance for these guys to, these ladies, I should say, to walk at the end of this season looking for more money. Some folks are saying, look, you got to have the big picture here. You're flying charter now. Just a year ago, you're flying commercial and you're flying coach.
It's true.
And eventually, her brand will help to raise all the ships. Day-Day, you cover the NBA. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I saw that story this morning, and I was just like, ooh, that's interesting for her to put that out there because Nafisha Collier is, you know, she's one of the big names. She's one of the stars of the league. So for her to put this out there, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to draw some attention. So it's going to be interesting to see how this how Caitlin responds to this.
But there's some extra juice, too, because when Nafisha's the vice president of the players union for the WNBA. And she's also the one, too, that started the other league, the Unrivaled League.
Oh.
And they had an evaluation, I think, recently well over $300 million for that league.
Oh.
So that's something that another competing league right now that this player who is not happy with the WNBA has started.
Caitlin goes to another league. That other league will have something. I know the numbers bear that out to
she's
some
got,
degree.
Yeah, she's got – look, she's got options. But I'll say this. There's nothing like being an American and being a star.
Correct.
And for her, that's where she wants to be.
Hey, man, last thing, a big boo to a crowd that is generally considered one of the more rowdy and one of the tougher environments to play in the SEC. I'm talking about Mississippi State fans. You see what happened down at Stark Vegas?
These guys are crazy.
They had, like, all their tickets on the home side, or I can't tell if that's the visitor side, sold to Tennessee fans.
These guys are crazy.
They had orange and white everywhere. Tennessee fans drowning out the cowbells. Apparently, Mississippi State fans are upset with their school's faculty members, who apparently sold a lot of their allotment of tickets to Tennessee Vols fans, who basically took over Stark Vegas in what came to be a nail-biter of a game.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Day-Day, didn't you have that game? You had that game, didn't you?
I sure did.
Did it cover?
Well, it didn't cover it for us, but it covered for me on Bovada.
You know, I hear a lot of crying over here. Next
I'm
time,
not
get
crying.
It right.
I'm not crying.
You know what?
I'm not crying.
You let me walk back a pick, I'll let you walk back.
You know why I'm not crying, Mike, bro? Because I am in the lead.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. Never mind.
What's Carl's record?
It's not important. Oh, continue, Mike Bell.
Again, Carl is struggling right now. We'll pray for Carl's picks on Friday.
Hey, we could be the morning show and just killing everything right now with the picks, but we're not, so.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I need some verification on that. Meanwhile, our entire show participates. Hey, let's get on with the Falcon Report.
Snap.
That's your guy talk right here on 92.9
The Game. All right, man, coming up, now that we had some time to reflect on the first four games of the season, we have to break it down because where we go from here is what matters. Also, some college football conversation, and you do not want to miss, dog fans, what Connor Riley said about Kirby Smart and the Dogs. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.